It says in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 44th verse, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. And when it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. When I began to read this, it brought out many great things and encouragement and instruction. And more than anything, it brought out compassion and concern. For we live in a day where so many people are in need of God. We live in a day where people need God in their lives. And I find that I've tried to do this every way that I possibly know to do. But the only time that it ever takes hold, and it's something that resounds in me, is when I sell all that I have. We read about this merchant man in this parable, and part of that that excites me is that he recognized that there was one thing that was of more value than another. When my life was in shambles and in torment, I was surely bound for destruction. I did not have a way out. And in my point of view, life was very grim. But you see, when we look at how things are going to become in our lives, we're not always going to see the outcome according to God's point of view. All the treasures that I possessed in my life did not compare to what God had in store for me. I realized at one point that I was a merchant of this life, that I had took part and bought and sold of life, if you will. Everything that I've become to know and become knowledgeable in, things that I buy, I enjoy. Things that I partake of, I love to do. But all the things that I was enjoying was tearing me away in my life. My lifestyle was destroying me. But when I realized there was something that was of worth greater than that, there was a desire in me to get rid of what was destroying me. And I realized that that which was in me, I could have never done it on my own. But that which was anointed by the Holy Ghost to lead me in my footsteps to my deliverance made a way for me to where I was able to sell and not look back at the goods that I left behind. The sacrifice that Jesus made for me, I was able to be set free. And since that day has come, I'm very thankful for what I have. I give God all the praise. I don't know if you're getting that tonight. I was once in this world buying and selling, partaking of everything that was out there. And if I'm not too careful, I'll get right back out there, get right back in this world, living the same life that God had brought me from. Getting my mind on the same old things that I'd been delivered from. Getting my heart in that same heartbreak that God had pulled me out of by the anointing of His Spirit. I know that it was God's power that brought me out, that set me apart, that separated me. It gave me the ability to be something that was able to be separated. Gave me the ability to be set free. Hallelujah. When the merchant saw the value of the one pearl, it was enough to leave all the other ones behind. Let me ask you something. How much have you acquired that it's greater than God? How much have we obtained in life that we're able to come in and God is not enough? If we're coming in and we don't have that newfound desire, don't have that pulling and tugging in our heart, that yearning, that humbling in your heart, that conviction, that drawing power of God, it will make you, compel you, want to seek Him in a greater way. You won't hang on to what you're bound to. You'll let it go. You'll let it go. That's when you're set apart. When you allow the yoke of bondage to be broken in your life, you're set apart. It's not what's by you saying to me that I'm set apart, but because of what I have on. It's not because you're set apart by what you compose yourself and how you carry yourself. It's by you're set apart by the anointing that lives in your life, by the Spirit of God that lives in your life. That which God has set free in your life. Praise the Lord. I realize now that when I look back on all the things I used to like, it doesn't have the same value. It doesn't have the same worth. I'm so thankful to God for that. I don't have to struggle with what I'm free from. Don't have to look behind me and say, Lord, how hard is it to still live with addiction? How hard is it to still have to live in sin? But yet we were made free. Weren't you? Weren't you? Weren't you? Weren't you made free? Weren't you made free? Praise the Lord, weren't you set free? Didn't you find that in your heart one day to say, I'm selling out for you, God. I'm giving up my life for you, God. I'm coming forth to believe in you, God. We all said that at one point because we were lost inside. Everything in our life would have never got us to heaven. Because let me tell you, just as there was a separation that takes place when you find that the salvation of God is more valuable to you than this world, when you obtain that salvation, there's another separation that will divide you when you go into heaven or when you depart into hell. And we have to have salvation in our life. How many of us know that tonight? We have to have Jesus Christ as the center of our life. Have to have Him as the root of our life. Really stirred my heart. And it put me in the mind of something else. In Acts chapter 8, you begin to read in the 26th verse about the Ethiopian eunuch. And you want to talk about somebody that had a desire to want to know about it. It was this person. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. How many of us are that Philip today? How many of us are willing to be that Philip today? If God spoke to you to go to somebody, would we still go? Would we run? Half the time we question that and say, Lord, I'm not sure. God, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm not able to do that. God, I'm not qualified. But he spoke unto him and he ran. Praise the Lord. And heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? How can I except some man guide me. What does that mean? Now somebody has got to be a guide. Somebody's got to be an obedient vessel. Somebody's got to be that Philip. Somebody's got to be willing to get out there. Guide somebody to the truth. Be a witness of Jesus Christ. You find anymore in the day that we live in that there's plenty of people I'm surrounded with that they attend church and then they turn right around and curse right in your face. And I'm thinking, Lord, let me be their guide. Help me, Lord, to lead them. Help me be their Philip, Lord. Help me to be in a place in my life where I'm able to come up to them and say, do you not understand what you're reading? Not to go to them and call them out, but to be able to go in love. Amen. There's not enough of us following after that conviction to go after others. I know we're following conviction to repent. There's plenty of us doing that. But I'm talking about when God leads you to go after somebody, to go be a witness for somebody, it still matters to lift somebody up and encourage them. It still matters to go by and remind somebody that they're loved. It still matters to go by and say, brother, you know that God loves you. As I begin to pray lately, my heart just yearns because I know that there are people that need somebody to go to them. And Lord, help us get in a place where we're not too busy, where we have enough time to be able to go and run to somebody. I don't have enough time, brother. You don't understand. I'm too busy. You don't understand. My schedule's too busy. Mine is busy too. But you see, God has got to be first. If I cannot execute my prayer life ahead of my schedule in my worldly life, doing my work, paying my bills, something has got to change. Because if I don't have that Spirit of God churning in my life, making me step out in a deeper way, I'll have no compassion. I'll have no love. I'll have no longing or desire to want to go reach out for those that need help. I'm glad that Jesus didn't run out of compassion or love. I'm glad that when He was carrying our sacrifice, that He didn't make it halfway and say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm too busy to do this. I don't feel like it. I'm glad that He continued, or we wouldn't have a way. Hallelujah. I'm glad that He finished what God had sent Him to do. And while I'm here, I just want to do what God has called me to do. I want to feel His presence. I want to be able to speak unto people what God would lay on my heart. I want to be a witness of God. I want to lead a lost and dying world to salvation. I want them to know that there's healing for their sick bodies. I want them to know that if they are in torment, that there is a way of escape for the torments in their life. I want them to know that if they are in bondage, that their shackles can be broken. That anointing of God will give that to you. Not any amount of sleep. Not any amount of time off. Not any amount of soul searching or trying to figure out what's in it for me. But seeking God. Seeking God. Seeking God. Turning to God. Giving Him your life and yearning for a deeper walk is the only way that we can go forward. I want to make a difference. I don't want to be the status quo. I'm tired of being of this world. We're in it, not of it. He brought me out so that I could go back to the world. with what He gave me and lead them to freedom. Lead them to something that'll help them. Don't you know that the Spirit of God is still real, still here to deliver, still here to heal the sick? Hallelujah. Praise God. Enemy wants you to give up on your walk with God. But I encourage you to get up and not give up, but get up and not give up. Praise God. Unlock the anointing in your life by selling out to God. Find the value in what God has given you. Find the worth in what God has placed in your life. For when the enemy is pressing in, it's the only thing that's going to get you out. When the enemy's pressing in, it's the only thing that's going to pull you out. When your mind's in trouble, it's the only thing that's going to give you peace of mind. When your body is ill, it's the only thing that's going to bring you healing. How can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which was read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Took him away. Took him on down the water. Can you imagine the service that was taking place when two men went down for a baptism? All that I've ever seen is a very standard traditional thing. That's all right. Can you imagine the service in that day? But what I'd ask you is, he was asking, what doth hinder me from going down to the water? What doth hinder you from going down into a deeper anointing? What doth hinder us from stepping out into that deeper anointing? What doth hinder us? Is it fear? Is it shame? What is it for you? Well, you see, God doesn't want us to have any of that. He wants us to lay all that aside so that we're able to rise as His people and not carry those weights. So I'm asking you tonight, what's hindering us from coming to God like we should be? What's standing in our way from being able to feel the Spirit of God? What's hindering me from being able to shed the tears and humbleness? Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's just life. But you know, when I put life aside and get a hold of God, He's able to get a hold of me and get rid of that. Hallelujah. I'm going to emphasize that one more time. When I get rid of what is tainting me about life and allow that Holy Ghost to comfort me, hallelujah, I'm able to go on another day. I'm able to endure in the midst of my trial. Church, you're not getting this tonight. I'm able to go forward in my life and be stronger. Be stronger. Not weaker. Not dwindling away. And especially not falling away from God. The old school term's backslid. The modern term's falling away. But I simply like to call it quitting. Because if you're not doing it, you're not doing it. That's it. Backsliding, to me, that's kind of inaccurate. Because if you're backsliding, it's still as if you're still looking at God. But if you've turned from God, you've turned from God completely. Because you can only serve one of two masters. I'm either serving God, I'm either believing Jesus Christ with all my heart, or I'm not. So what is it that gets a hold of us in our life? That when we come in to service, that we can't be that Philip. What is it in us that when we're able to get in the water and be carried away in the Spirit, what part is that that wins? What part is that in us that gains victory? To me, it's when the desire for God is greater than our desire for life. Now, I know that we all love to live. Some of us love to be successful. Some of us love our things. Some of us love popularity. Some of us love this. Some of us love that. You can be honest or you cannot be. Doesn't matter to me. God knows our hearts. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And we could sit here and go through all this, and I could go down the line and be like, Beth, you don't even know about my life. You don't even know about my life. You don't even know about my life. But God does. Right? You see, if we're in a place with God, I wouldn't come with an attitude towards anybody, would I? I'd be able to reach out and help somebody. There wouldn't be any barriers, would there? Wouldn't be any barriers? And don't think because I started here that there's a barrier. That's foolishness. When the Spirit of God is upon you, every yoke of bondage has to fall away. Everything that would hinder you is gone. You're able to be in fellowship. You're able to operate in that which God has called you to. We need more Philips. We hear about Peter. We hear about Paul. But in this case, I want to encourage you to be like Philip did. It was simple. He heard and he went. And I'm not telling you to get out and go 20 miles up and down the road. But I'm telling you to hear from God. Do what He tells you to do. Hear from the Spirit of the Lord and obey it. When you get into church, hear from the Spirit of God and obey Him. It's simple. He went and led him to Jesus. And it wasn't even that hard. There wasn't a big discussion or debate. In fact, the guy was so excited in his desire to want to know, he practically baptized himself. He just had a couple questions and he was ready to go. What doth hinder you from being able to go to the water? So when we come in, night out, morning in, morning out, we have to learn, as you read in the parable, to find the value in what God is putting inside of us. And when it's less than what the world is more, there's an issue there. And if we are grown up girls and boys in the Lord, then we're grown up enough to know when there's an issue. We're grown up enough to know when it's time to turn back. Prodigal son knew when it was time to turn back. I don't think it took the slop to get his attention. I think he finally realized that he had went to the end of his road. When we get to the end of our road, sometimes we got to turn back. We cannot take on life and do it on our own. We cannot fight the battle. Sometimes it's bigger than us. But God can fight your battles when we're not able to fight the battles. He will provide a way when there seems to be no way. And when those things that you feel like that you can never conquer, try trusting God for a change. Try coming to the water. Try coming into that anointing into your life. Jared, I've never prayed that deep before. I've never just kept on longing and praying before. I can't really explain it. I can't even begin to scratch the surface. But as I begin to pray, I just begin to let go of me and take hold of God. We need more of that in our lives. We need more of getting down and not caring about who's around us. Our children need to hear us calling out for God. They need to hear us calling out on God. Church members, visitors need to hear us calling out on God. They need to see a joy in your life. That joy cannot be acted. You can't put that joy on a front. That joy will only be there if it's there. So how do we have that joy in our life? When God is greater than that which is hindering us, then you're able to show joy. I could try to come in here and paint a happy face on me, but if I still looked miserable, you would eventually see that I was unhappy, right? I could have a t-shirt on that says I was happy. I could even jump up and down and dance and shout, make a commotion, but the condition of the heart tells on you every time. God wants us to have that natural joy from what He gives us. So we're not coming in and having to force ourselves to always go through that same struggle where the weight feels so heavy. You see, when we learn to grow stronger in God, that weight not only gets lighter, but what happens when you finally get the weight off? You begin to get power. You're able to go forward and push off those things that used to hinder you and be able to push other things that were standing in your way before. I look for a day where the church gets in a place where we're not only able to get in and have church for ourselves, but be able to push back the enemy for other people, that they be delivered and be saved without us having to go through a struggle and a fiasco just to get a hold of God. You wouldn't dare say that, would I? Yes, I would. Because I call it like it is, church. We have to recognize when we're in struggle, God is the only solution. It's the only way when we strive. How many of us have lost like a $100 bill before? I remember when I was a kid and I had $200 in my wallet. You remember? We were like at Walmart. Maybe I didn't tell her. And I was going in there to buy something. I was so excited about getting what I was going to get. And I was looking at what I was looking at, and I put the wallet near what I was looking at. And then they got it called for me and got my attention, and I left it, right? Was gone around, looking around, looking around, looking around. Then all of a sudden, it hit me. Oh, no. I left that money. Where did it go? And then I was in pursuit for what I lost. It might not be pearls, you know, for you. You might be in pursuit of a lot of things in your life. But listen, seek God first. Seek God first. Seek Him first. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness and all these other things. I believe that some people make it monetary, some people make it spiritual. I'm not here to debate that, but that which I know is any need that I've ever had in my life, whether it be spiritual or monetary, God has always supplied it. But you got to seek Him. I remember how happy I was when I remembered where it was and I got it back. I was like, oh gosh, I cannot believe I found it. Nobody stole it. Now I can get what I was wanting to get with it. I was like that big. I was so excited. I've been saving that forever. But when you have that which is worth in God in your life, all that other stuff won't even matter to you. All those people that are picking on you, pushing you, hurting you, wronging you, it'll just brush right off of you. It'll roll right off your back and you'll go on about your life and say, so what, devil? So what, devil? I'm going on. So what, devil? I'm going on with my life. You can taunt me. You can spit on me. You can say all that you want to, but I'm going on. You can tell me that I'm going to have no income. You can tell me I'm going to have no house. You can tell me I'm going to have no car, but I'm going on. You can tell me I'm going to be sick in body, but I'm going on. Hallelujah. That's your faith, right? That's your faith, right? We got any faith warriors in here? Praise the Lord. Step out like Philip did. Run to those that you know are in need. And then be like that eunuch. Get a desire